All right, Jim Taylor back on the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Great to have Dan Pearson in studio with us this morning on WMJ and WMJ.com. I know, you know, it's always great when we cover, you know, some of these people that are tremendously nice guys, but they're winners, too. And I interviewed Tim Engebretson last week, one of my favorite guys, man. Yeah. And it's like, you know, they always say you can't be a nice guy and win. I'm like, yeah, I have multiple examples that yes, you can. And Tim Engebretson is one of those who won a state title and just a great, great dude.
Yeah, and he, I will add too, like that was the first year they co-opted, right?
Yeah.
And
consolidation.
And I saw, I was like, I put a video together for him, and like I saw him, like the next year or two, said, I pop that video in when I work out, you know, when I'm on the treadmill. It's like, all right, man,
yeah,
somebody's
right.
watching it. They're not using it as a coaster for their Polar Pop, you know?
Yes. So that's why I say when you see people like Dan Pearson, nice guy. I mean, I've never honestly ever heard anybody say a bad word about you. But give me a story like behind the scenes. Have you ever been bothered by anything? You know, like I asked Matt Randazzo when he was here, you know, has anything really, it didn't necessarily make him mad, but it was something he gave the story about something he missed or his station missed. So give me a Dan Pearson, frustration or anger because we're all human, even Dan Pearson.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Let me just make that clear. I'm a sinner, and that's what always people be like, oh, you're such a nice guy and stuff. Like, but that's just motivation for my faith and my family and stuff like that. But, like, I guess I'm probably fiercely loyal, a little too loyal sometimes. And, like, I remember, like, when I was still working at the station, and we would have – I was the huddle coach in Geneseo for FCA, and we'd have, like, 50 kids at our house every Friday morning. And there was one year, like, Geneseo had a really good basketball year, and it's like those words aren't in the same sentence.
Yeah.
So and they were playing for, like, the sectional at – it was at Galesburg, and they were playing Washington. And Washington was really good that year, and it was, like, could have been the end of the line. And so Nick Bull's with me, and I love that guy. And so we're shooting it, and there's this kid in the stands for Washington. He was just obliterating the players. Every one of them had been in my house earlier that day. And I'm going, ease up, buddy. And so so I said, Bully, can you do me a favor? And so he went over and sat next to this kid. And this kid was
so Nick Bull is the cooler.
He's my bouncer, man. He's my bodyguard. And so he went over there, and, like, well, we both noticed it. It was the kid went over the top, and even some of the kids around were like, dude, the language, you know. And so he was, like, calling one of the kids, like, just a really derogatory name. And, you know, kids are kids, but still, it was really bothering me. And so I got my tripod and set up the tripod and locked it down on this kid. And every once in a while, he kept looking over, you know. So this went on for like 3 or 4 minutes. I said, okay, Bully, go on over. And so Bully said, you know, do you see that over there? The camera's on you? He said, yeah, what's going on? And Bully, he said, we're doing this documentary on the worst sportsmanship we've ever seen in our lives. So this kid just melted. And Bully said, have a good day. And he walked away. And so that was like, of course, we're trying to send a message, but it probably was a little too personal. And it's like, it really, like, stuff like that. Generally,
don't you say that about the Leaf basketball team? Don't you say that?
Don't say that about Tyler Storm. You know, so it was, you know, like I said, I think it's loyalty for me, and like you get so fond of these kids. You know, you just like I hate to see people hurting that way, and the players were starting to notice it too. You know, so
do you see more of that? You think?
Yeah,
with the behavior,
more so from parents, I guess. You know,
yeah,
and like even fans that maybe didn't play the game, you know, and like it seems like the more they know, the
in basketball's the worst because everybody
can
thinks
hear
they know basketball, and
right,
yeah,
it's there, you're
the
on top of it
area.
Yeah, and like just when coaches get criticized and stuff too, and so like we got to protect our coaches, and honestly, like the referees too, you know, I've really been intentional with referees, thanking them, because what's the appeal right now? And there's such a shortage of officials in Illinois, especially. And, like, some of these, you know, these graybeards are like, we got to get some young guys out here. But as
Marty
you,
Flaherty, he's got a graybeard.
He's the king, man. So, well, he uses that formula or whatever, you know. But
I like Summer League. I wish Marty Flaherty could do Summer League, like, officiating, how he does regular season officiating, and he can apply the Summer League stuff when people – say stuff at like summer leagues. I like his like tone, his sarcasm when he'll say something to the fans. But you can't do that during the regular season. Mm-hmm. And I tell people that I understand the emotion of sports, mm-hmm. even at the high school level, in the heat of the moment. And sometimes heat of the moment for a coach, people can take offense to that a little bit, you know, but you have to understand that it's heat of the moment, and mm-hmm. that's why in, like, professional sports they have the 15-minute cooling off period or whatever, which I think is very important. And see, the thing, I always say that the coaching stuff is so subjective, and I don't really... Now, since I've been doing it so long, I don't get into this who's a good coach or a bad coach because it's different from everybody you talk to. It's subjective. I rate coaches how they work with me. You work mm-hmm. with me okay in victory or defeat, man, I'm cool with you. I'm not going to get in this debate whether you're a good coach or a bad coach. But my only problem I have in this coaching, especially this like rehiring process, it always bothers me that when something comes up where a coach may be on the hot seat, the administration or the board, and I'm not saying every administration or mm-hmm. every board, they're only listening to the people that have complaints.
Right.
They don't talk to the families or parents that don't have a problem, mm-hmm. that speak mm-hmm. highly of their experience.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what bothers me. It's the old squeaky wheel. Mm-hmm. Type of issue. That's the type of thing that bothers me in some of these rehiring processes, but, you know, that's so subjective from school to school, and then even from sport to sport. Long story short, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, and like, that's something, like, in FCA we're dealing with through that three-dimensional coaching. They're developing three-dimensional parenting at sporting events. You know, how to really make that happen. And like for me, like I've had some buddies over the years, perfectly reasonable people, when their kid's playing, something happens to them and they will fully admit it. I don't know what happened. You know,
yeah,
it's
the old Duncan Reed adage of all parents are rational people, with the exception of dealing with their own children.
Yeah. And, you know, so I've known guys, like, you give them a strategy. If you're a baseball dad, just go sit on the other side of center field fence and hang out with me where I'm shooting or whatever, you know, just to catch yourself, you know, especially if you like get critical of a kid. It's like that's your neighbor's kid, you know.
Yeah.
So, and that I've been in situations like that, and I guess I'm like, I thank God I never went off on anybody like when my kids were competing, just because of observation through the years of how other people. So maybe really observe, you know, what's going on the other side. And like, I've always thought about doing like a 5-part series on this, but going to Decatur or to Champaign to shoot it, so it wouldn't be local people, you know, that we would air.
That's a great,
you know,
concept.
Just saying, go have my wife sit with them with a wireless mic on and
it's
eating
just,
her popcorn.
It's a third party. Yeah, it's an independent third
and,
party.
Yeah, and you can, like, you know, blot out their face, you know, distort it to, or whatever. But if you saw what you look like, sometimes you might be horrified. And, like, I can equate that because, like, I'll look at a show from, like, when I first started in the late 80s, it's like, I thought it was pretty good. You know, now it's... That was horrible. You know, it's like, how did they ever let me on TV, you know? And I thought, that looks good, you know? It's like, man.
Yeah, but that's the other thing when we talk about, like, these protocols. And for me, I don't have an issue if I haven't been happy with every experience my son mm-hmm. or daughter's had playing with a mm-hmm. coach, you know? But I always tell people that, you know, what's the protocol? And mm-hmm, if you have mm-hmm. if you follow the proper channels like you're supposed to when you go to the preseason meeting, you know, set up the meeting with whoever that doesn't work, set up that meeting, or set up this meeting, that doesn't happen because when people are unhappy, it's the old end around. Mm-hmm, and it's not, mm-hmm. did you talk to the coach? Well, no. Did you talk to the AD? No. Did you talk to the principal? No. Did you talk to the superintendent? No. Who did you talk to? Oh, my buddy who's a school board member.
Right.
That's who I'm making and then that school board member does the old end around, and that they're basing their decision on rehiring this coach instead of asking the question that, you know, the first question that board member should have from a parent is, did you follow the proper protocol?
Mm-hmm.
And if that person followed the proper protocol, I'm game. Hey, you've done everything you've done.
Yep.
You've went through the channels, but 9 times out of 10, what is it? Mm-hmm. They skip all those other parts and they go the end around and they go to the board member, then that board member goes to the school board meeting despite the recommendation from the AD and makes the vote based on that way. See, right. That's the thing that really aggravates me about this. And like I said, I'm too dumb to understand who a good coach or a bad coach is, but I do understand when, you know, people are using the old end around to get rid of somebody.
Yeah, and like a really good buddy of mine who's an athletic director, what he does, if somebody does approach him, why is this kid getting more playing time than my kid, or the coach prefers this kid? And he said, oh, well, let me call that family and let me call the coach and I'll bring him in. Let's talk about it. And then usually, oh, I don't want to do it. You know, so again, if you take it back to relationships and that, you know, 5 years from now, that game's not going to mean anything, you know, and...
Well, and the other thing, and you're seeing it, the rule used to be you coached 25 years or 30 years right. at your school. The rule today is if you can get 10.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of measuring stick, the 10 years. I think a lot of it has to do with some of the parental stuff, and then I think a lot of it has to do with the off-season stuff.
Oh my gosh.
That
yeah,
basically
yeah, yeah.
1 year really coaching equals two or maybe three when you factor in the off season stuff.
Yeah, because the demands of coaching are different, and like to have an appreciation and a sensitivity to what these coaches really go through too. It's like I would not want I myself can point a camera and I can push a few buttons, but I can't coach a football team. You know, so have high regard for that, celebrate it, and it's a privilege for your child to play on a sports team and just to make it a positive experience. Don't bring it down. Especially because of playing time or something like that, too.
All right. What you're doing now is great because you're still involved with media, you know, with the Iowa Fellowship of Christian Athletes. You have a mission outside of video, but, you know, as you say, you still get to do kind of what you love with the video presentation, and you're not constrained by market television. So that is that freedom for Dan Pearson?
Oh yeah, yeah it is. And like for me, I do, you know, I do the story. Like these stories are like a foot in the door for me too. And like, I obviously had an advantage because I knew every coach, I knew where every school, I'd been to every school, you know, before that. But it opens the door. Now it's the FCA guy. He's probably not going to do some expose on my team or something. And so that's the open door, and you celebrate them. And like it's really cool. A lot of times, like a feature story ends up being shown at their banquet too, you know, and because it's something that's like celebrating character and faith. And, you know, most of my stories aren't Jesus-y stories, you know. It's like, it's about starting that relationship, and then you get into their lives, you show up, you start going to games, and you call the coach, and, hey, coach, I got some great material here for you. You forward it on to them and things like that. So the mix of media and ministry has been powerful. And it's like, I mean, the stories are great, but I go to the huddle meetings and I bring my camera, you know, and I shoot kids opening up their Bible and leading other kids. And then I grab two of them, interview them, and they're claiming Christ, you know, as the reason why they do things. And like Carson Frakes is one of them. He was one of our Scholar Athlete Award
Faith
winners.
Faith Anderson, two better representatives. Oh, they're WMJ people first.
Superstars, exactly. But, you know, and those are two that people have seen and people have heard. And like when they see that the motivation has been their faith in Christ, you know, and to see them, like I've shot them through the years, and I made a special trip to go down when Faith was limping around the court and finished second in the state, you know, in that 3-point thing. And she said, this is why I did it, you know, and this is why I do FCA, and FCA has changed my life. And when you have a room full of people seeing that, someone, the kid who hits the 60-foot shot, saying that that's the most important thing wasn't, you know, that I hit the shot, but that God has given me these abilities. And, you know, and 10 seconds after he hits the shot, what's he doing? He's glorifying God, you know. So that's training, and that's something. And I mean, he's a superstar of the faith, and like that's what I'm going to remember him for. And that's what he finds, that his identity didn't come in that moment, or the fact that he's had a great high school career, but that God loves him and he wants other people to experience that, you know.
And that's the great part. You talk about the job that we have, about the relationships you build, in the investment that you kind of have. And I tell people, for me, the friendships that I, you know, I don't know if it's sad that my friendships basically are based around the interscholastic athletics I cover, but, you know, when Carson Frakes' season ended this year, one of my moments, where I'm broadcasting at Mercer County, where we broadcast on the home side, and, you know, it's this this just energetic finish. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, it's the adrenaline of those kids, and then the finality of the season.
The air goes out, you know?
The season ending, and you know, where we broadcast from, we see the handshakes, and I see one of the great moments I experienced this year was the handshake where Frakes collapses. He basically just, with the adrenaline out of your body, he collapses into the shoulder of Coach Rangel during the handshake line. I mean, those are the images that mean so much to me. And then, you know, and I think about you're wearing where your daughter used to teach at Monticello, where Coach Welter is. And one of my stories about relationships you have, when he moved, I remember my wife and I and my kids were over there helping him load up the van. There's a lot of people.
Right.
And he was driving out of town on College Avenue in the van, and his daughter was in the car with him, and she's crying because she doesn't want to leave. Mm. And I told my wife, who my kid rode one of his bikes over, I said, I can't take this, man. I got to leave. I'm just riding home on this kid bike because I'm sad. It doesn't have anything to do with him being football coach.
Right.
I'm sad at the relationship that I'm kind of losing here in town. Absolutely. Like, I just can't do it. You know what I'm saying?
And it wouldn't have happened without sport.
Yeah.
You know, that was the connecting point for you. And for me, it's like, man, I was sad to see him go because, I mean, I got to experience some amazing moments with him, you know, on the field, you know, and just like, and then for me, it was just like, well, this is going to work out. My daughter is going to teach in that district, and the whole family has had an effect on my daughter, you know, too. And they're, you know, they moved, my daughter did, and Matt, my son-in-law, but they stay in touch, you know. So those relationships are enduring, and, you know, to know that you can have an impact wherever you go. And it was like, you knew it was going to affect the town here and everything, but it impacted another town, you know, that you probably thought,
Cully's
staying for 50 years. What are you talking about, you know?
Well, Dan, great having you.
Thank you.
You're the gold standard in media, man. Follow, if you want to get in this career, do it like Dan Pearson.
Thank
you. Class act, dude. I always appreciate you. I always love seeing you around, man.
Thanks, man. It's a privilege to do it. And like I said, it's, you know, from where I started, you know, it's just clear that, you know, God has had his hand around it because I was not equipped to do these things. And and now, you know, to look back on it, you know, and to look forward with it, it does come down to relationships and it comes down to glorifying him. And I would say to the parents out there, thank you for letting us be in their young people's lives. And like, that's kind of the weird part is like some of my better friends, you know, were kids that I suck a microphone in their face, and now they're having children and stuff now, and so that's pretty powerful.
All right, Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you.